Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14, Text. Bhagavan api govindo, pramanyo bhakto vatsala, kachit pure sudharmayam, sukham aste srihit rita. Translation. Is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarka Puri, surrounded by friends. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here, in this particular verse, the Lord is described as Bhagavan, Govinda, Brahmanya, and Bhaktavatsala. He is Bhagavan Swayam, or the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all opulences, all power, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, and all renunciation. No one is equal to or greater than him. He is Govinda, because he is the pleasure of the cows and the senses. Those who have purified their senses by devotional service to the Lord can render unto him real service, and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. So when Prabhupada says real service, that means it implies there's service that is not real, or let's say not complete. So that would be service with material desires, whereas real service is service without any material desire, but with only desire to please Krishna. Only the impure conditioned living being cannot derive any pleasure from the senses. But being illusion by false pleasures of the senses, he becomes servant of the senses. So basically, the Prabhupada is comparing real pleasure to false pleasure, the real pleasure of the senses to false pleasure of the senses. That's why we said that the pleasure that we experience in the material world is not real, is not actual pleasure. It's the temporary relief from misery. That's what's called pleasure here. Whereas real pleasure, there's no misery involved. There's no birth, death, old age, and disease, or fear of those things, because one understands that the soul is eternal and engages in the internal activity of the soul, which is pure devotional service to the Lord. So whether pure devotional service is rendered in the material world or the spiritual world, it's the same thing. But mixed devotional service will not give the same result. And what is the result? You're free from anxiety and fear, not suchti, not kankshati, and free from material hankerings. The Lord, therefore, we need his protection for our own interest. The Lord is the protector of cows and a Brahminical culture. A society devoid of cow protection and Brahminical culture is not under the direct protection of the Lord, just as the prisoners in the jails are not under protection of the king, but under the protection of a severe agent of the king. Now, this is a very important point. We're living right now in a society that does not protect cows and, in general, does not respect Brahminical culture. How could it respect Brahminical culture if it kills cows? And how can it respect Brahminical culture if it doesn't listen to genuine brahmanas, and who will definitely instruct people that, you know, there are four sinful activities, the pillars of sinful activities in the material world that should be avoided, and there are four things that one should do every day that are positive for spiritual life. Without cow protection and cultivation of the Brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at any length. That's why there should be the four orders: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. If you just have, like, for example, in the bees, they only have kshatriya, that's the king bee, and then sudras, the workers, that's it. So some societies, there's only three orders. Some societies, there's only two orders. And most societies, only one order or no order, right? So you see, there has to be the four orders and the four ashramas also. A society devoid of cow protection in Brahminical culture is not under the direct protection of the Lord. So that's the point. So if you become a devotee, then you'll come under the direct protection of the Lord. Mahatmana mamparta daivim prakritim asritaha. That's daivim prakritim asritaha. They take shelter of this transcendental mercy of the Lord. Let's see that verse 9th chapter where it says, is it the 9th chapter or is it 8th chapter? Yeah, 9th chapter, 13th verse. O son of Prabhupada, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. What is that? Daivim Prakritim. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. And the purport Prabhupada says, in this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this effected, or how does this happen? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the... Well, no, okay, let's talk about this, because someone might say, well, I know devotees who are affected by the material nature, and they surrendered. Yeah, but here is a difference. It says, that is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. Okay, so surrender means sarvadharmam pratyaja mam ekam saranam vraja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mukshyishyami mastucha. So the real description of surrender is manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mam evaisasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me. So right there is the difference. Always think of me. So if a person is surrendered, but is not always thinking of Krishna, they're not completely surrendered. Always thinking of Krishna, of me, he says, and worshipping me, manmanabhava madhva, or becoming my devotee, madhva, to madhyaji, worshipping me, mad. And namaskuru, always offering their humble obeisances and homage to me. So this always thinking of me is the criterion of someone who's completely surrendered. This is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Notice the word preliminary. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna. See again, manmanabhava. He doesn't divert his attention to anything outside of Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, a great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Now, this is also repeated again by Srila Prabhupada in the 18th chapter, 65th verse, where Prabhupada says, 66th verse, where he says, one should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the supersoul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. So, and then in the previous verse, it says, these words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayana, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna. So here we see in three different places Prabhupada says the same thing because Krishna is saying it, but he's giving specific emphasis to it. So here it says, the Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside of Krishna, and anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There's no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, a great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna and Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. So this is what it means to be completely surrendered to the Lord. So then it says, without protection and cultivation of brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at any length. By brahminical culture, the development of the dormant qualities of goodness, namely truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge and transcendental knowledge, and firm faith in the Vedic wisdom, one can become a brahmana and thus see the Lord as he is. And after surpassing the brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord, so that his loving affection, in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover, can be transcendentally achieved. Let's read that one more time. And after surpassing the brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord, so that his loving affection, in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover, can be transcendentally achieved. The stage of a devotee, which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord, does not develop unless one has developed the qualities of a brahmana as above mentioned. The Lord is inclined to a brahmana of quality and not of false prestige. Wow. Thus, those who are less than a brahmana by qualification cannot establish any relation with the Lord, just as fire cannot be kindled from the raw earth unless there is wood, although there is a relation between wood and the earth. Since the Lord is all perfect in himself, there could not be any question of his welfare. And Maharaj Yudhisthira refrained from asking this question. He simply inquired about his residential place, Dwarkapuri, where pious men assemble. The Lord stays only where pious men assemble and takes pleasure in their glorifying the supreme truth. Maharaj Yudhisthira was anxious to know about the pious men and their pious acts in the city of Dwarka. So this, again, is a very profound purport. All the purports are profound by Srila Prabhupada. But there are many points here that are fine, I would say, refined points, subtle points that one will miss unless they carefully read Bhagavatam. One will miss because the same points are made in Bhagavad Gita, but they're more clear, but more elaborately explained and with very fine, examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so the main point is that without cow protection and cultivation of brahminical qualities in the human society, it goes together. Cow protection and cultivation of brahminical and brahminical culture. So without that, a society that doesn't have that is not under the direct protection of the Lord. So that's our situation today. That's why you're seeing social unrest. You're seeing economic distress. You're seeing natural catastrophes. It's like this huge hurricane right now in Florida and the East Coast. These things are happening. Why? Because America is not under the direct protection of the Lord. Because there's no cow protection, and there's no cultivation of brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of society. So this is what Prabhupada is trying to establish. At least a section of the American society should be engaged in brahminical culture to garner the protection of Krishna. But then it says, after surpassing the brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord so that his loving affection in the form of proprietor. So Nanda Maharaj was a proprietor. He owned 900, was it 900,000 or 900 million cows? I think it's 900,000 cows. So he's a big proprietor, he's a massive proprietor. Nobody has 900,000 cows today. So he's a proprietor, but his proprietorship does not develop into a false ego. He's a proprietor with the loving affection of Krishna. He's above the brahminical perfection. And he has the loving affection as a proprietor, as a master. Usually proprietors and masters are puffed up. And friend, sometimes a friend of Krishna or someone who considers themselves a friend of Krishna can get puffed up. But because of the loving affection, even in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover, can be transcendentally achieved. So one can become the proprietor, the master, the friend, the son, and lover of Krishna. Yeah. Huh? Let's see. Let's look at it more carefully. Become a devotee, Lord, so that his loving affection in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover can be transcendentally achieved. Okay. Yes, his loving affection in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover can be transcendental. Okay, I agree with that. The stage of a devotee which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord does not develop unless one has developed the qualities of a brahmana as above mentioned. The Lord is inclined to a brahmana of quality and not of false prestige. That's another major point. We unfortunately have brahmanas that are full of false prestige rather than the quality of a brahmana in this world today. Those who are less than a brahmana by qualification cannot establish any relation with the Lord, just as fire cannot be kindled from the raw earth unless there is wood, although there is a relation between wood and the earth. That's another very subtle, wonderful example. Since the Lord is all perfect in himself, there could not be any question of his welfare. And Maharaj Yudhisthira refrained from asking this question. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.